Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 17 of Sean Hammer. Well, I've gotten a few mails over the last week or two, and I think what we're going to do is we're going to go back to fantasy for a little while. Excuse me, I'm also suffering from a sinus infection. When you get one in Michigan, you keep it all winter, that's for sure. Okay, one of the questions was, you know, like, how do you get started? I got a few questions from people who wanted to get started on Fantasy Army. Of course, funds are limited because this hobby is not cheap. And they want to know exactly, you know, how would they, for one, first pick out an army? Two, in the army, what would they like to, what would they go about picking? And then three, how to enhance the army, you know, something that they're going to enjoy and hopefully paint. And if you can paint it and get it all done, good luck to you, because that's something I haven't done in a while. So let's go ahead and go first. You walk into your local game store and you see a whole bunch of guys and ladies playing some Warhammer, and you're like, wow, that's an interesting as hell game you're playing there. Nice board set up with some grass, hills, trees. You got movement trays of knights and infantry moving around, and you think to yourself, wow, I could really get into this. Then you go ahead and, you know, of course you can be inquisitive. You start asking around, people start telling you about the game, and it leaves you even wanting more. At least that's what I found out with myself. So you walk over to the model selection and you start looking through all the figures and army books, and you think to yourself, wow, there's a lot of choices here. Where do I start? There's 13 plus armies to choose from Warhammer. Wide variety of combinations you can do. And good or evil armies are armies that even consider themselves neutral, such as the Lizardmen. When you start going through and you start looking through everything, and you get overwhelmed and you don't know what to do. So this is my non-professional but professional opinion. First, when I first started playing fantasy, I picked out something that was going to be fantasy. I didn't look into any human armies because that wasn't fantasy to me, in my opinion. So I stuck with something that was more fantasy-based. That would have been dwarves, elves, goblins, undead. Now, at this time, that summer, Army of Darkness came out. And it's a great movie. It's cheesy as all hell, but it's a great movie. So I decided I'm going to go with undead. And went from there, and we'll get to my point of how to pick out an army. Today I'll be illustrating this with Bretonians, about exactly how I started a Bretonian army. What I chose, the army itself, we'll go through the army book, and a list that I compiled that I think is a pretty strong point value to start a new army with, that's not too overwhelming to paint, put together, or play, and still gives you a good flexibility to actually give things a try. So, why did I pick Bretonian? When I was looking through, I've been playing Warhammer for about, like I said, maybe 14 to 16 years, give or take. And I've been watching these armies develop here and there, and back in the day, they gave a free bowman with a white dwarf. Yes, when they used to give free models with a white dwarf. And they basically dropped out of the picture. I bought a couple horses, or knights, I should say, painted one or two, and it dropped off the radar. Well, I was going through, and I was playing in a, not a tournament, but a campaign, and I got my butt smoked. With the undead by a Bretonian player. I was like, they pretty much do the same thing that I seen them do. But just recently, I was looking through the model selection, and it came to me, wow, there are some really nice pieces. And I fell in love with the unit, and that's why I chose Bretonian. Bretonia, kind of silly reason, I know, but I fell in love with the Grail Reliquary. This is the Dead Grail Knight hoisted above the shoulders of a whole bunch of peasants, running him around like he's still alive and, you know, the battle pilgrims. I saw this figure, or unit, and I totally loved it. I was just like, whoa. I'm going to go ahead and start a Bretonnian army. And I'm going to go ahead, and that's going to be the middle point of my army. It's a nice unit. It's unique. It painted up quite unique. And I don't know. I just got this love for this unit that I just can't explain. Then I started, I bought this unit. Then I put it together. I thought to myself, but what I was going to do, as I also have a Dog's War army, I was going to use this as a just a unit of pikemen, so to speak, or maybe I think I was going to use it as the paymaster's bodyguard and use him as the paymaster and throw, you know, a couple of treasure chests on there and stuff. But then I started looking around online, looking at different ways to paint and stuff, and I figured out, well, there's a lot more models in the army that would be really cool. So I quickly fell in love with the questing knights, which I think are the finest looking knights in the game. A lot of character to the unit, just beautiful. And then I like the Pegasus knights. So when I pick out an army, as you can see, I took three instances where I found something that I liked visually, and I went with it. That may not be sound and ideal, but hey, it's me, and I had the extra cash, so I went with it. So, when you're... The key point in here is, if you're going to pick out army for 40K or fantasy, go ahead and pick out something that you're going to enjoy painting, which you're going to enjoy moving around the table, which you're going to enjoy showing off to other people, because your own representation through your painting, through your modeling, is going to take this army, it's going to define you at your local game store and or tournaments. And people are going to remember you from time to come and say, well, I remember you, the guy with that really cool unit of Grail Reliquary. No one plays those, but you had a really nice unit, you made it work. So, when you get started, go for what pleases you. Second of all, starting this game is really expensive. It can get really pricey. The units aren't cheap. They're like anywhere from $35 to $50 on up per unit. And some of the newer armies, such as Skaven and such, are even more expensive because the models are like $57 for, say, like a Screaming Skull, a Screaming Bell, or whatever. I was going to say Screaming Skull Catapult. That's Tomb Kings. So what I do is I just recently, within the last year, went to this tournament, took first, played a 1,250-point army list. At first, I was opposed to it. Trying to make 1,250 points work, I mean, that's a bunch of BS. I usually like to play my games of fantasy at 2,500 and minimally 2,000. So I went to this tournament. I made up a list that was pretty rock solid. And unfortunately, for at that point, range had to be pretty balanced. So, since then, I found out that you can make a really good army list at 1,250 points. That army list won't be giant. It won't be too expensive. It will actually... Excuse me, I'm sucking on a halt right now. And it'll keep you with a fair amount of units that you can actually control with painting and stuff. Because sometimes if you just go out and keep buying units and units and units, and you buy a whole army of like 2,500 points, maybe even 3,000, you might get it, put it together. You might spray it, and you might paint one or two units, and then virtually the luster wears off. It becomes bogged down, and you know, and you're running around with a whole army that's painted primer black, gray, or white, and also may have one or two units painted. So when you start a new army, I like to say start out with 1,250 points. Now, like I said, I went with Petonia as my list for this 1,250 army. So I went out and bought the book. It's just like, okay, let's look at this book. A lot of nice looking pictures and everything. Models are nice and everything. Unfortunately, it is on the drawing board to be replaced, and that might actually mess with my army list that I have. So looking through the Bretonnian book, I found out, we have this lance formation as I'm looking through, and it shows exactly as lance formation is a unit of three knights wide, and it can be up to whatever deep, and the whole front unit of knights, plus every unit on the model on the side, but not the middle of the lance formation, will be able to attack. Also, there is no side combat bonuses against the lance. So that's something specific for the army-specific rule I looked at. So it's just like, I noticed to myself, well, okay, the unit I really liked was the Grail Reliquary. They're not knights, so I was just like, how can I benefit this? I also bought, a week or two later, I bought the unit Questing Knights. They come in a box of five. Therefore, again, not a strong lance, so I'm looking at five wide. So I start going through, and I notice on the Petonians got this whole vowel system. They got the peasant duties, saying that peasants can use a leadership of non-fleeing knight within 6 inches of them. The Grail Vow, which any Grail Vow, Grail Knights are Knights with a Grail Vow, you mean in psychology, and cannot be joined by characters who do not have the Knight's Vow or the Questing Vow. Any Grail Knight Vow always starts the game with the blessing of the lady, whether or not Petonian army prays or not. And I skipped over the big thing for the Petonians. Where did I miss that up? I swear. Okay. Yeah, this army book does need to be... Oh, we'll get there. Questing Vow. No, I say, okay, I got these guys with a Questing Vow. I look at them. Knights with a Questing Vow may ignore panic caused by friendly units. And they may reroll any failed psychology test. And it cannot be joined by characters with the Knight's Vow. It also states that characters with the Questing Vow cannot use a mundane or magic lance. And I was like, okay, so I'm learning a little bit more about my choices. Next, I look at the Knight's Vow. Knights with the Knight's Vow ignore panic caused by friendly units with the peasant duty. So I look at it and think to myself, okay, well, let's go ahead and see what has the Knight's Vow and go from there. Also looking through this book, I find out that the Bretonnian army gets the blessing of the lady. The Bretonnian player may pray for the blessing of the lady before the battle begins, before both players have deployed the army. After both players have deployed the army, the enemy can then choose to take the first or second turn, as the whole army must kneel and pray. Now, if they do this, the effects of the blessings are foul. It affects all units and characters that have the Knight's Vow, Questing Vow, and Grail Vow. In addition, the prophetesses and the lady and damsels of the lady are also affected. The blessing also affects the mount, such as the hippogriff, and etc. The effects of the blessings are the models get a 6+ ward save. I was like, okay. And effective models get a +5 ward save against attacks with strength 5 or higher. Of course, you can lose this blessing if you flee from combat or refuses to meet the challenge. And we'll get there later on when we talk about challenges, but not today. So we're going through, and like I said, we're looking through the book, and I was just like, well, we got the Devoted of the Goddess, and these are your basic sorceresses. Damsels and prophetesses are protected by Lady of Light, giving them a magic resistance 1 or 2 for the and the prophetess. Well, I kind of skipped that because I was just like, well, you know, I don't know if my opinion, my idea of my army at 1250. Sometimes I get really sick of the magic phase. Some games I love it. Some armies and games I feel hindered by it. Which Bretonians, for this list, I felt hindered by it because I don't want this to be a magic heavy army. So I scratched it off my plate and I start looking out. Okay, what are my core choices, so to speak? Well, I found out quickly that the Bretonian can have Knights of the Realm and quest Knights Errant, and both those count as core choices for the army. So I was like, interesting. I start looking Knights Errant, pretty standard knight as far as human knights go. And these Knight Errants have this thing where they have to charge if they fail the leadership test to restrain themselves, because they want to show off to the other knights or the ladies, and, you know, kind of like the movie Knight's Tale. That's why I like the basis thing about when I'm playing this army. So I'm like, okay, well, Knight Errants aren't too bad. So I go, you know, I skip all this. Then I start thinking to myself, how much do these things cost? And I get going, and Knight Errants are 20 points per model. Well, it's like, not too shabby. And I also see that there's a 1 plus Knights of the Realm. Basically, same stats, except for the fact that the weapon skill and the leadership are one higher than the Knight Errant. And you have to have 1 plus unit of these at 24 points. So I was like, okay, so I look, and I got men-at-arms, and I got peasant bowmen. And these will follow off for my core choices. And I started looking at them. I was like, okay, well, I want at least, I like to have three most of the times, core units when I can. Even if the army only calls for two, I like to have three when I can. It's just me. I like numbers. I try min-max the numbers more than anybody. So I start looking through the other options for. I start looking at the stats and everything for the core units. I come to the fact that men-at-arms are only 5 points. Standard movement, 2 weapon skill, 2 ballistic skill, 3 strength, 3 toughness, 3 initiative, 1 attack, and leadership 5. I'm thinking to myself, man, these guys suck. And now I was just like, okay. I was like, oh, all right, they suck, but, you know, oh well. Unit of 20 plus command is going to roughly run me probably about, you know, under 150 points. So not bad. And I look at the equipment. They have hand weapon, shield, light armor, and pole arm. Counts as halberd. They got a little bit of versatility. They could, with the pole arm, they can counts as a halberd. And they get a 4 strength on the attack. So I was like, okay, well, I'm going to have one of these. And I start looking at the peasant bowman. Same stats as the freaking men-at-arms minus the ballistic skill, thank God, is a 3. But then, there's no armor, nothing for them. I start looking, and I was like, oh, wait a minute, defensive stakes. What the hell's a defensive stake? So I go through, I backtrack, find out what defensive stakes are. And these are stakes that get put in front of the unit. And units can't get charge bonuses or get impact hits when they're charged front or front. So, I mean, wow, that's pretty cool, I start thinking. Then I start reading more. I found out that any unit may equip brazers, which counts all arrows as flaming attacks for 5 points per unit. So I was like, bingo! There's a lot of wood elf players here in Port Huron, Michigan. And I will repeat the word wood, like fire and burn. So I was just like, okay, I'm going to take these bowmen. So it's like, okay, these guys are getting better. 6 points per model. 5 points per unit, make them flaming. I'm not going to throw a banner in there or nothing, because with such a crappy stat in the game, you don't want to give up easy 100 points for a banner. So I'm thinking to myself, what else can I do? Well, I also noticed for an extra, they can have light armor for 1 point, but for an additional point per model, unit can be skirmish. So I'm thinking to myself, wow, that's a 360 unit shooting at 30 inches with flaming attacks, can march block units, and kind of I can paint to look like Robin Hood and his Merry Men. All right, I said it. I'm a geek. There you go. But I was just like, Peasant Bowman, that's it. So I go into my special units. Excuse me. Of course, we have our questing knights reigning in at 28 points apiece. Same weapon skill as the Knights of the Realm, but we have strength 4 on these guys, and also a 4 initiative. They have great weapons, heavy armor and shield. So I'm thinking to myself, wow, great weapons. So, you know, I gotta start looking, what can I do with these guys to make them a little bit more entertaining, I found out that they come, all Bretonian knights come with bartered war horse, and they don't slow their movement. So it's like, freaking sweet. That puts it up a little bit better. And I also noticed that your unit commanders in the knight errants, your knights of the realms, your questing knights, and I believe that's it, they all come with a free upgrade for basically the unit champion. So it's just like, oh, okay. I was just like, see, it's important here to read your rules instead of just going through and pick. But like I said, you gotta do what you like. And what I like is I like to make an army that's visually pleasing to myself in numbers and looks. So it's just like, okay, well, I am taking the unit of these guys because I paid a lot for this unit of five guys, and I'm playing with the damn things. Next up, Pegasus Knights. I was having some. Simple as that. I was having a unit of Pegasus Knights. They're freaking sweet looking. They're useful. They're versatile. Unfortunately, they're 55 points apiece and like $20 to buy. So I stuck with three. The unit size minimal. Kind of sucks. They count as flying cavalry, and they have the Knight's Vow. So I lived with it. But they do look stunning. Of course, up next, I got the Grail Reliquary with the Battle Pilgrims. Pilgrims. 118 points. Crappy peasant stats. But we come into the fact that the unit has hatred, stubborn. They got the Peasant's Duty, and they got the only peasant unit that can actually, they get the whole unit gets the Blessing of the Ladies because they're carrying around the Dead Grail Knight. Not too shabby. They're going to be my table quarter holders. Okay, so I come up and we got the Mounted Yeoman, and they're really cool. They can hand weapon, spear and bow. Didn't have the points though in 1250, so I went past those. I dropped that, and I saw what the army had for rare units. You got the Grail Knights, which are badasses above badasses. They're living saints. Anyone can accept the challenge. All their attacks are magical. They're medical people, and they have the Grail Vow. Two attacks apiece, rock solid unit with a toughness 3, unfortunately. And strength 4. And we get the Field Trebuchet. Well, when I first started playing this game, I played Undead. And I could have a Screaming Skull Catapult. Now, in fact, I could have a couple. So I thought to myself, 90 points? I'm taking myself a Trebuchet. And I linked this exactly right with the movie, The Messenger, with Mila Jovovich. So, I went through, and I got those. I got those set. Then Redwood Army has to hold. Then, what's pretty neat about the Bretonian Army, it's got these virtues that your heroes can take, and it basically tells them what type of fighter they are, what type of mentality they have. And actually, if more than one person can have it, but you pay double for the price of the second person, so it's not really a good idea to, unless you really want it, to put it up. Of course, you got your magic items. So I sat down at the old Army Builder. Army Builder is a computer program. Basically, it puts together game system units, and that'll allow you to total them up and stuff. And I decided, here I go. I'm making this damn army. Here it goes. I need a leader. I went with a paladin, with the Enchanted Shield, giving him a 5+ armor save, and a Virtue of Knightly Temper. For each attack the knight hits and wounds on the charge before saves, make an additional attack. 40 points. Total. And plus I got the Grail Vow. I have 149 points. I'm looking at my army general. He basically has the same exact same type of Spazoid combo. I'll take on my Vampire Knights instead of Blood Fury. We call it Virtue of Knightly Temper in this one. Next up, we have my other Paladin, which is going to be my Standard Bearer because the Bretonian Army has to have one and they get it for free. He's got the Virtue of Duty. As long as the General's alive, the Knight gets a +1 combat resolution. Combine this with the fact that his Army's Standard, he's going to be a unit with a Standard, and he gets the plus one, this unit's going to be hardcore. Next up, we have the War Banner on the Paladin that gives him a plus one combat resolution. So, in any unit he's with, he's going to be in the Knight unit. That Knight unit's going to have a standard. They're going to have him. They're going to have his combat resolution virtue. And they're going to have the War Banner. By him being in any unit of Knights I put, told myself that unit's going to benefit from 4 plus combat resolution. 129. So, 1,200 points. That's all I figure I'm doing with them. That's all I'm going to do with characters here. So I go into my compulsory units. One is I have to have a unit of Knights of the Realm. So I went with six. Six Knights of Realm. Of course you get the Gallant. I took the Banner of Chalons. And this allows the enemy may not stand and shoot when this unit charges. The reason I did this is because right when I started playing this army, the Lizardman army just came out. And everyone was taking those Razor Downs to get to stand and shoot with 2d6 artillery dice, whatever it is, and that's just hideous. So like, I told myself, let's stop this. That unit weighed in at 202 points. Well, next I got my unit of Men-at-Arms. Instead of going 20, I went 15 with a Yeoman Warden, Standard Bearer, Hand Weapon, Pole Arm. 102 points. Not bad to take a table quarter to basically pay for itself as long as they don't die. You get 100 points for table quarter, they cost 102. Well paid for themselves. Next up, I have 10 bowmen, peasant bowmen, with the skirmishers and brazers. 75 points. Very well spent. Played this army a couple times. Excellent choice. Next up, we have the Grail Reliquary. 145 points. Nine battle pilgrims with it. Reason why is the reliquary is takes up the spot of six guys, so it makes a unit of 5. 15, just like the men-at-arms unit. Now, like I said, here I am with my questing knights. My unit ran 192. Excuse me. I took the Twilight Banner with these guys. It's a one-use only banner. But in the remaining move section of a turn, after charges, the unit suffers no movement penalty for moving over difficult terrain or obstacles, or from any other reductions in movement. They can move through buildings, but not units, and they may not in their move an impassable terrain. one-trick pony on this. You can skip your unit of questing knights across the stream, through a building where somebody's trying to outmaneuver you around it, and next thing you know, they find your unit of questing knights right behind you. And plus, don't forget that wheeling and turning and stuff, you suffer no restrictions from you suffer no restrictions to movement. So it gives you a pretty solid little trick up your sleeve. Next up, for 165 points, we have a basic unit of 3 Pegasus Knights. Then for 90 points, we have a Field Trebuchet. Now, after sitting down, I looked at my total for everything, and I ended up... Drum roll, please. I ended up with 57 models in my whole army. And a total of... I got my point costs on here. 1,249. That is the point total for this army. Good army, strong, it's got a nice core choice into it, it's got a little bit of shooting, unfortunately it's got no magic, so I wouldn't say it's a totally balanced army because I can't do nothing in the magic phase, but I got a good amount of heavy hitters with my two strong units, my two paladins to back them up, a unit of peasant bowmen, and the trebuchet in the shooting phase. And my Pegasus Knights to fly around the table and harry stuff and take out small units, including war machines. So that's it. I mean, I was asked, you know, where to start with it and everything, and I would say start slowly, and if you have to have an army and you want to start with it, go ahead and write yourself up a 1,250-point army list. Check it out. played a couple times, and as you keep playing and your stuff gets put together, stuff gets painted, more funds become accessible, you could go ahead and start adding more units to that 1250 army list, tweaking them in and out, keeping 1250 until eventually have enough points to do 2,000, then enough to do 2,500 or 3,000. I hope this has become helpful. Upcoming, we have an army review, I would like to say, but it's actually an army bashing called Enter the High Elves. If anyone plays High Elves and you don't want to take offense to this, you may not want to listen. But I'm going to go through. I'm going to come up with a few tricks that I had come up with to try and beat the High Elves, because I think they have bullshit rule, but they always strike first. I dislike them. And we're going to go that way. And I know I say, just remember, have fun. It's only a game, but you got to have a nemesis out there somewhere. And mine just happens to be High Elves. And a buddy of mine, Jason, plays the High Elves. Till next time, I just want to remind you guys and girls, if you want to get a hold of me, go ahead and contact me through Sean Hammer, the number 9, at yahoo.com. You can also follow me on Twitter, Facebook, both under Sean Hammer. And please, just leave an army review. And I got a couple listeners who are looking at getting some goodies. AJ and Ray are looking at getting a little bit of a surprise packages as soon as I go ahead and get it all together and get them shipped. And I'd like to say thank you for listening. And remember, just have fun.